third part of baptism, the power of baptism, from Luther's Small Catechism. How can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Did you see that half-page ad in the paper for Acton's NBA program? It said, get a great start to a great obituary. Finally, truth in advertising. Yes, all this preparation, all this aggravation, all this trepidation, all this education are leading to an obituary. Death is the great thing looming in front of us all. You probably don't really believe that. If you're young, you have many more things in your mind than death. If you're really young, death isn't even a reality. If you're middle-aged, you have bigger things than death confronting you. Even if you're old, real old, or sick, real sick, still death isn't right here, right now. In our reading, Jesus sees death right in front of you. He's been looking at it for years, not in the fleeting glimpses we take every now and again. Jesus has been looking at death the way we do, when we are or our loved one is in hospice, on life support, or with the death rattle. We get a glimpse of how huge, how heavy death looms before Jesus by the fact that it's 2 days away from the big Passover party. And Jesus is thinking of his death. He says the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. As Jesus goes, so goes his disciples. He tells them, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, applies to all those made from dust. Whether in the church or out of the church, we're all going to die. Some will go softly, gently into that good night. Others will go violently, terribly, frighteningly, but all will go. You know, we live in this age where people not only say truth can't be known, but even more despairingly, they say truth, even if it can be known, it doesn't matter. Well, truth, death, is that truth that no one can deny, and everybody knows matters. I'm not talking about death in the abstract here. I'm not talking about death on the TV or even in the newspaper. I'm talking death up close and personal. People can choose not to believe something is true or doesn't matter only until it's staring them in the face. You see this great thing called death. That's why you came here tonight, to have me put ashes on your forehead. You wanted to be reminded that dust you are, to dust you shall return. At the same time, you're here because you want to return from that dust. You want to overcome death. Well, it takes a greater thing to deliver from great death. And that thing is water. Not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water delivers from death. If baptism is simple water only, it could do no more than wash the ashes from our foreheads. But get this, because baptism is not just plain water, it does rescue from death as surely and as easily as water will wash away these ashes. Baptism is not just plain water, so repent. Repent of regarding it that way. You must confess that is what you do. If baptism was more than water to you, if it was what rescued you from not just death, not just sin, but the devil too, then I think you'd remember the day you were baptized on. I think you'd make a point of telling your kids on what day they were baptized on. We put on our walls the day our spouse was given to us. We put on our walls the day our degree was given to us. We put on our walls the day an award was given to us. But the day we were given forgiveness, rescue from death and the devil and eternal life, well, that's stuffed in a drawer somewhere. Baptism is worth remembering because it is more than water. It is the Word of God in and with the water. The power of baptism is the Word, not the water. The Word brings to the water forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. Without these, we not only die, but we die eternally. The Word attaches the promise of these things to the baptismal water, just as in a reading. Jesus promised that a man carrying water, which was an unusual thing since women normally did that, Jesus promised a man carrying water would lead them to the place where they could celebrate the Passover. So Jesus promises your baptismal water leads to forgiveness, leads to rescue from death and the devil, and leads to eternal salvation. How can Jesus attach such grand promises to baptismal water? Because they are His and His alone to make. The events unfolding in our reading tonight are the beginning of Jesus' passionate suffering and death for sinners. Jesus, perfect God in flesh and blood, did not have to die. But Hebrews says He tasted death for all people to deliver us from it. Jesus, perfect God in flesh and blood, never did sin. But Paul says God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might have His righteousness. Scripture says the devil entered into Judas, sifted Peter, and deceives us. He did none of these things to Jesus. Yet Jesus was delivered over to Him for our sakes. Jesus never did anything to be forsaken by God. Yet God forsook Him in hell to claim us for heaven. Jesus, who needed no forgiveness, no rescue from death or the devil, no eternal salvation as the God-man, won these for all men. How did Jesus choose to distribute these wonderful gifts? In words and sacraments. Jesus saves us from sin, from death, from the power of the devil, and for eternal salvation through the washing of rebirth. His Word makes baptism a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth. Just as God's Word made Jordan River water able to wash off Naaman's leprosy, just as God's Word made a bronze serpent life-giving, just as God's Word made mud sight-giving, so God's Word of promise makes water able to wash away sins, drown death, and give everlasting life. Jesus, by an innocent life and a guilty death, defeated your sin, death, and the devil, winning life for you, regardless of health, regardless of age. His Word of promise puts what He did into the water. But don't think the water is nothing. Jesus makes the contact point of His Word of promise, grace, power, and life, water. It's like many of the medicines we take. They contain all sorts of inert ingredients. Some of them have as much as 99.4% inert ingredients. Means they don't do anything. But the only way you get the real medicine your body needs is by taking the pill with all that other stuff in it. Water is an inert substance, but it is essential. Because to it, God has joined His Word of promise. In our explanation to the power of baptism, we are admonished to trust this Word of God in the water. You are not admonished to trust this Word of God in your feelings or in your thoughts. You know why? Because because commingled, mixed up, and often confused with God's word in your heart and head are your words, your interpretations, your opinions. In baptism, only God's word of promise is attached to that water. As sure as those waters have touched your skin, so sure do you have God's word of promise in the water. But what about that other half of the quote I left out? It doesn't just say we are to trust this word of God in the water. It says certainly not just water, but the word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. Right here is where Lutherans shipwreck on the waters of baptism. As if God had said, faith is all, the water of baptism is nothing. Faith is all, God's word of promise is nothing. Faith is everything, Jesus having kept the law and paid for our breaking it is nothing. Well, if faith is all, if faith is everything, then there was no need for Jesus to do anything. If faith is all, if faith is everything, then there's no need to be baptized. If faith is all, then your salvation, your overcoming death, is only as sure, only as strong as your believing is. And just how strong and how sure is your believing? I'll tell you where this is going. Straight to the purgatory of thinking that baptism is only as strong as your faith is. Then you're like the little engine that could. As long as you think, I think it's strong, I think it's strong, then your baptism is strong to save you from the death looming in front of you. It worked out for that little engine because he revs right up past believing to knowing he can. That means he revs right up to believing in self. And you don't want to go there. About 16 hours from our reading, Jesus will be stone cold dead on the cross, beaten, bloodied, and tortured. No one believed he took the sins of the world away at that time. No one believed he would rise again. Did their unbelief make that true? Of course not. Neither does your lack of faith, your small faith, your ignoring of your baptism mean baptism has no power, no forgiveness, no rescue from death or the devil, or no eternal salvation. Faith transmits the power of baptism. Baptism is a power because Jesus has attached his forgiveness, his defeat of death and the devil, his everlasting life to those waters. When you trust in your baptism, when you rely on your baptism, when you go to your baptism, when you feel guilty for your sins, afraid of death or the devil, or worried about going to heaven, you don't create forgiveness. You don't bring about rescue. You don't open heaven's doors. No, you receive them because God in Christ has first put them in the water for you by his word of promise. If you try to put your faith up against your sins, your death, or the devil, they're going to laugh at you. Although faith is worked by God, it is worked in you. You, not the Holy Spirit, is the one who believes. Therefore, the faith going on in your heart can always be questioned, always be ridiculed, always be shown to be imperfect. So you say, I have forgiveness of my sins because I believe. And you know what your sins say? Do you really believe God can forgive that? You say, I'm not afraid of death or the devil because I believe. And death and the devil ask, so how come you're shaking? But what can sin, devil, or death say when you're treading water in your baptism? What fiery darts aren't put out by God's water? What error, what fault, what weakness can they find in something God works? No. Ordinary water does not wash or refresh because you believe it does. No, water all on its own is cleansing and thirst quenching. You wash with water and you drink it because it does these things. If you don't use it, well, then you remain dirty and thirsty. It's the same with baptism. You're not forgiven of sins and rescued from the death and devil by baptism because you believe it does these things. No! You use baptism, take shelter in baptism, rely on baptism, because God promises it does these things. In your baptism, you not only have a great start to your obituary, but an even better ending. Because in baptism, obituaries don't end in death, but life. Amen.